God has given us one channel of grace, prayer. By this, we communicate. No other way. Only by prayer, we have access to God's holy throne of grace, and from Him receive direction. Man is a praying creature. The only praying creature. No animals ever pray. Only men. The problem is men too often pray amiss. They think they are praying when in fact they are speaking to themselves. And I will give you 10 instances of praying amiss. Once in the beginning of my ministry, a man came to me and said, "Pastor, pray for my lottery. And when I get it, half will go to the church." So this is a folly among some weak or untaught Christians. Some years ago, I went to a place called Darjeeling. Some of you may have been. We had a medical conference in Calcutta, and then we flew to Darjeeling because it is quite near to Calcutta. And there was intrigue, because there are many Buddhist temples, and above those temples were prayer flags. One long string or a cable that went very high to a pole, and along it there were many prayer flags. And all these contained prayers that flapped in the wind. And I was told as they flapped, these prayers will ascend to heaven to their supposed God. At the same time, there were also little bells that kept on ringing. And these bells were supposed to send prayers up to God. Also, well known to us is the burning of incense and various prayer papers. And the smoke of these things were supposed to convey messages up to heaven. When we went to the Holy Land, we observed another mode of prayer. Our driver was a Muslim, and he drove us through the Holy Land. And wherever he went, he had a string of rosary around his wrist. And as he drove, he also handled the rosary. Every rosary contained a prayer, and he went on repeating prayers wherever he goes. Then we went to the Wailing Wall. Some of you have been. We all go there whenever we go to Jerusalem. And at this Wailing Wall, you see people praying in two ways. One is they hold to the wall, or they just stand there, and they shake themselves back and forth. I ask, why do you do this? He says, well, we are taught to pray with heart and soul, mind and strength. Heart and soul praying, you can't see. Mind praying, you can't see, but you can see strength praying. So, heart and soul, mind and strength. Three are invisible, this one is visible. We must show how we have strength in praying. So that is the meaning. And when they've finished praying, they put a little paper prayer, written prayer. And you know the wall is made of big blocks of stone, and there are crevices, little spaces. And they are full of little pieces of paper prayers. So that these prayers continue to pray for them. So sad to see all these praying amiss. In the old days when we were in Life Church, Gilstead Road, at night, we heard loud prayings that could be really, literally heard almost half a mile away. Very loud from the bell tower. We asked why. Oh, if you shout loud, God will hear. Praying amiss. Now the Lord told us, and I want you to turn to this. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. How not to pray amiss. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. One was the religious elite, high class religious leader, and the other is a down and out, downcast, outcast kind of a man called a publican, the one who collects taxes for the Romans. Now the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you, I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and of course I pray often, and I give tithes of all that I possess. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but looking down, he beat upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Here is the contrast of two praying men in the house of God. One is giving a recital of his goodness to justify himself before God, how he was so religious, praying, keeping the law, avoiding all the evil things that are known to be evil that he will not do, and paying his tithes, fasting twice a week, and so on and so forth. That kind of prayer does not hold with God. Look into our own lives, how we pray, dear friends. How is your prayer? When we come to God, there is one prayer that reaches to the heart of God, and that is that of the publican. Listen to how he prays. The publican, a sinner, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. All he knew was, I am a sinner. Now this is the first qualification to touch the heart of God. Even as a child comes to the Father, a needy child to touch the heart of Father, how does he do it? If necessary, with tears. Here he is, he beat upon his chest, his breast, say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he was justified. Not the amount of speaking, not the goodness of a parade of good deeds you have done. Does it not remind you of the shortest prayer by the thief on the cross? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That prayer was answered immediately. Today, you will be with me in paradise. What a prayer. Now another prayer. James 4, the passage we have read, and this is very revealing how we pray. James 4. Men at war. Men who are constantly fighting one with another. Do you see this in the church? All too often and too recently, we observe this going on all the time. Within the church, parties are at war. So, James foresaw all this. James knows Verse 1 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Each side maintains a position. How right and how just they are. Ye lust, verse 2, and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Then you do ask, you pray. Now we'll see what happens. Verse 3, you pray and receive not, because you pray amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Years ago, I was on holiday and we went to Bangkok, you know, Thai boxing, where they use everything, all the four paws are used. And before the fight, I was so amused, not amazed, but amused. The two boxers went to their own corners, and they knelt down, and they prayed. Each one prayed very earnestly and furiously. Wow, what were they praying about? Whoever the God was, God, whoever you are, help me that I may kill the other fellow. And the other fellow is saying the same thing. Now, which one will kill the other? Amazing. Here we see a case of this. Convinced that you're right, praying that the other side will lose. How can it be? How should we pray, therefore? The Lord has taught us, and for tonight, turn again to the passage in Matthew chapter 6. How should we pray that we should not pray amiss? Making wrong prayers, are there guidelines? As I said just now, it is your only channel of communication with God, your only one. By prayer and supplication, you can talk to Him, and then may God talk to you, communicate with you through His Word. So there is a two-way communication. What does the Lord say? The disciples came to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, that we may not pray amiss. Verse 6, the Lord says, when you pray, enter into your closet. It is a personal, private, intimate conversation. It is a dialogue. It is a fellowship. It is a sharing in secret. Do you do this? How is your prayer life? Years ago, when I looked into my own ministry, I had a survey of my members in Jurong. How is their prayer life? And to my shock, I found that many people did not pray. Say, why don't you pray? Oh, of course I pray. When I'm in trouble, I pray. Every morning before you go to work, do you pray? No. They don't feel it's necessary. And who are they? Members in the church. They don't pray. When you come home, do you pray? No, I don't pray. Amazing. I say, the first requirement for Christians is to seek the Father in heaven. Often. That is the first problem, the first mistake that we all do is not to pray. Look into your own life. How do you pray? We pray because there is a necessity. That's why Jesus says, except you be converted, change into a little child. And what child begins his day by just running around and do nothing? Not to even look up the parents, the father, the mother. And this is the same spirit. How do you pray? Is there an urgency? First thing in the morning. Why? Because I'm a child. I need father. The first thing in the morning for every child, every little child is, I must speak to my father, my mother. And that meeting is the most precious in the day that is part of Christian life. If you have not developed this, I say, this is the first move. How not to live your life amiss. How not to pray amiss is first thing in the morning. And that time is precious. It is different from the day. Very different. Will you try it? Jesus says, shut the door before the strange times comes in. Before your phone begins to ring. Before all the needs of the world came crowding in. I find this so stressful for my life to have a telephone. Now they ask me, have you got your computer and internet? I said, God, spare me. Spare me even from the telephone you asked me to put in the internet. Terrible. There will be no peace. What we need today is to have a retreat. Escape from the demands of this fast-moving world that comes crowding on you, pressing on you all the time. And you think you are so great, so much in demand. You must meet with all these. And yes, this is part of my work. I need to do it. Why don't you pray? Too busy. I have so much work, I cannot pray. Supposing you see that God's work is for you to pray. Make this the first item. I must pray because without prayer, I cannot do the rest of the day's work. This is the first work that God gives to me, to meet with Him. Can you imagine troops on operation? You are a troop. You carry a gun. And what do you do? How do you fight the battle? You fight the battle by being in touch with the commander of your particular group that is operating. Except you receive instructions, you do not know what to do. That's prayer. We are all on the operation. We are in the army of God and fighting the battle of God against evil forces. How do you know what to do? Prayer. Every morning. Every morning on your knees. If you can't do it for any reason, humble yourself before the Lord because He is there waiting for you. You can be sure of that. God is always available. Only thing is we do not seek Him. So, except you be converted into a little child so that you are all the time in need. I need Father. I need Mother. I need God. Therefore, you look for Him automatically, the first thing in the morning. And I want to stress this again. The best time is before the day comes crowding on you. So many people emigrate because they cannot stand the stress and the pace of Singapore life. True? Absolutely. Now you get used to it. After a while, he says, what stress? No stress. I start the morning, 6 o'clock sharp, out of the house. I don't come home till 8 o'clock sharp. Wow, 12 hours working for what? For the world. 12 hours soaked in the world. Too busy to pray. Verse 6. Again, the Lord says, when you pray, and He says, pray without ceasing. You cannot survive this world of sin, the world that is under the control of Satan, the god of this world, and hope and expect to survive and go through unscathed. No, you will not. Start the morning. Best time is the morning. How do you do it? Give it an appointment in your day's curriculum. The day's plan must have one first item, prayer. Meeting with my God and reading of His Word. Together, that kind of prayer, secret retreat. Verse 6, enter into your closet, your room. Whatever your room is, make sure that you have a private meeting with God every day. And when you have shut your door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. He will communicate with you. He will give you thoughts that you never had before. Because when you meet with Him, Jesus keeps His promise. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. You need me. I know you need me. The disciples were troubled when He said to them, I must go. For without you, we can do nothing, Lord Jesus. How can we have you with us? Answer, the Lord says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. This is a promise, but you must claim that promise. You must make available a place and a time to meet with Him, because once the rest of the world comes in, you're finished. My day is gone. Yes, my private time with God is finished. And I go right into the affairs of the world non-stop for the next 12 hours. Verse 7. When you pray, use not vain repetitions. You have to cultivate how to pray, dear friends. No use repeating the same thing over and over and over again. That does not improve your praying power. Pray earnestly, sincerely, and from the heart all you need, according as the Lord will teach us how to pray. Do not be as the heathen I've mentioned to you. Recently I went to a wake, and it was a non-believer. And there was a band of nuns and monks, probably 20 of them, and they went round the coffin, round and round and round, and chanted the same few words all the time, again and again. Please never do such thing. I suppose we all have been so well taught, you never do. But you never do, and you never pray also. And because there's nothing to tell God, you tell Him nothing, you don't pray. Now, let's look into this. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. Then you say, hey, if my Father knows, why do I bother Him to tell Him already? He knows. Now you ask yourself, if you're a father or a mother, you know all that the child needs, of course, you know. But do you expect Him to come to you? Answer is, naturally. I'm waiting for the child to come to me. There is a certain pleasure. There is a certain wonderful feeling that comes in no other way. When the child comes, there is a warmth, fellowship, relationship. And there is the beginning of a conversation. Do you think that paints a picture of how God yearns for your fellowship? Please. There He is, every day, every moment of every day, waiting for all of us to come to Him, to seek His face, to know His will, so that we, knowing that will, may know what to do. We are on the operation, fighting the battle of God. And unless you receive His instruction, marching orders, where to go, what to do, you fail. We fail. We fail too often because we do not seek the Lord. So even though you say, well, the Lord knows, the Lord expects you to come to Him. And He is so happy, so willing, so ready to pour down the riches of His grace to you. Now, how do we pray? Verse 9. We learn old, new lessons from old truths. Verse 9 is well known to you. You say, Our Father which art in heaven. We said this just now. We say it every time we come here to the service. We all know it backwards and forwards. But do you understand the meaning? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How do you take the name of God? There is no other name. The name which is above every name. The great creator, almighty God, Savior, Redeemer, all-knowing, almighty God. Acknowledge Him. When you say, Our Father, it means all that He is the giver of life to you. Your Father, my Father. You give Him all the honor, all the power, all the glory, all the allegiance. Then the first request, the first item in the prayer list, and I want to stress this because this is the key to successful prayer, the key to successful understanding what a prayer means. Verse 10. What are you praying for? Thy kingdom come. This is the first petition. Whenever we pray, the first petition, the first priority, the first need to pray for is God's kingdom. Not all your needs. Of course, they are important. Not your sickness, not your wants, not your future, your career, your needs, your health, all these things are important. But the most important is God's kingdom. Please realize this. This church exists here because of God's kingdom. We come tonight because of God's kingdom. We meet together for prayer meeting because of God's kingdom. You say, how come? Really? I say, yes. When I'm sick, I pray, God, make me well, that I may be enabled with health to spread the news of your kingdom. To complete the work you have assigned to me for thy kingdom's sake. God's kingdom is number one. I must get well to do God's kingdom and His work. You pray, God, give me a good job. What for? That I might do that job and earn a living that I may be better equipped for your kingdom's use. You pray, God, make me well. What for? That I might get out of my bed. Instead of being bedridden, sick in the hospital, Lord, make me well that I may get up and go and do your work. For your kingdom's sake, I must finish my job. My daily work, whatever it is, I will go and earn my living. But you make me well in order that I may be a useful servant for you in my company. God's kingdom is the end point, is a priority in all that we do in this church. Verse 10. God's kingdom, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All the purpose of the church is in order that men and women may hear the gospel, come in and find eternal life and salvation to become members of the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Through you and through me, we must work hard, labor hard, come every Lord's Day to serve the Lord together, the other seeing will be encouraged, and we together promote what? The kingdom of God. Sunset Gospel Hour is the place where God's people come to be encouraged, to be instructed, to be enthused, to be busy about God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. This is God's will, that you and I who know the gospel, who have the Savior, go and tell them, and bring in the others who do not know, that they may be saved. For there is only one greatest industry in the whole world. That is the first priority for every Christian, is to think, what am I doing for the salvation of souls? Thy kingdom come, that perishing souls outside may be brought into the kingdom, be saved, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is God's will? Do you know? Can you tell me what is God's will? God is not willing that any should perish. Meaning to say, God's will is that all should be saved. How many people have you saved? How many people in Singapore are saved, brought into the kingdom of God? That is God's will. Where are we? What have we done? You say the church is quite big. I say we have not even touched the tip of the iceberg. There is so much to be done. God does not expect that you will do everything, but God expects that you and I do our share, our little part, wherever we are. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And that will is that none should perish because of a lack of the gospel of salvation. That is our duty. When we pray, think of this. You pray to get well so that you can be part of this business, part of this industry, soul-saving industry. You pray for a career. You pray for success in examination. All these things in order that God's kingdom may come and His will be done through you, through me. You pray for a life partner. What for? Of course, it's a necessity. Your priority today is, I want to find a good partner for life. What for? That I may get married through. What for? That I may settle down. What for? That I may bring up children. What for? That I may teach the children the Word of God. That God's kingdom will be full of children and youngsters. So that we all the time bear in mind the first priority in prayer is Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done through my life on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, they're all saved people. Angels always behold God in His very presence and praise Him. This is what we pray for, that one day what exists and holds in heaven today will come down on earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, that one day when Jesus returns, the whole world will be redeemed, saved. All will be believers only on earth. And we shall see God's kingdom on earth 1,000 years. That is first priority. That is our first responsibility in prayer. Every time you pray, Lord, make me well. I'm sick. So that I can get up and go and do your work. So many of us have done so little, you know. So little. Think about it. Verse 11. Now comes your need. Your need is, give me this day. Give me this day my daily bread. What a wonderful advice and command to us. Don't ask for a month's supply of everything every time. You find you cannot even have the space to store them. When you have so much, you find there will be danger of theft. Thieves will come in to steal, you know, if you have too many things. And the pests and insects will come and eat up your rice. Why? Give me this day my daily bread. Lord, supply me just enough so that there will not be problems of storage, of thieves, of security, of all these things. Amazing prayer. God will supply you just right if you pray this prayer in faith. Verse 13, verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, verse 14 is a hard one. Verse 14. So many people, even Christians, even all Christians, experienced Christians, even pastors says, I will forgive. I don't forget. I got a good memory. Listen to this. Verse 14. You want to know God's will? If you forgive men their trespass, your Father in heaven will forgive you. This is a condition. This is unconditional condition. Yes, there is no qualification about who you should forgive. He's too rotten, I cannot forgive him. He's done too many bad things to me, I cannot forgive him. There is no such thing. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, if we forgive someone 7 times, is that good enough? I'm pretty good fellow, you know. I can forgive 7 times. What did Jesus say? Forgive 70 times 7. Now don't put a count and say 70 times 7 means 490. It means never stop forgiving. It means have a spirit of forgiveness all the time. Be generous. Be forgiving. Be large-hearted like God. If God were to take into account all our sins and say, I give you a certain number, after that I cannot forgive you, we are finished. All of us are finished. For we are sinners. And this is the first thing we all ought to do. When you come to the Lord, I am a sinner. All the time. Every day I sin. Every day I forget God. Every day I do wrong things. Little wrong here, little wrong there. All these things are sins. And if God were to keep account with us, we are finished. So, verse 15. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How should we pray? Pray often. Give God the best of your time for prayer. And pray with spirit and with understanding. And have your priorities right. Of course we must pray for those things we need all the time. These are needful prayers. But understand the end point, the purpose of that prayer is that God may answer that prayer for my needs in order to equip me for His kingdom to come, for His will to be done on earth. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, teach us evermore, anew, the meaning of prayer, that no prayer is for any personal, private need of any man, but every need is to be related to our part in Thy kingdom. Thy kingdom come, O Lord. Thy will be done in my life. Help us to see so clearly as our Lord has taught us. We are to pray so that God will answer our prayers and meet our needs to equip us for the greater need, the kingdom of God and the will of God. May Thy Spirit bring to remembrance every day as we pray that we will bear in mind God's kingdom, God's will comes above all. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.